This is Patriots Draft Countdown, presented by Bud Light.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
Hosted by the writers of Patriots.com. From now until you hear
the New England Patriots like,
the countdown is on. Welcome to the Patriots Draft Countdown, presented by Bud Light.
All right, we are 43 days away from the NFL draft. That's how we're going to open every one of these shows, Paul. We're gonna go with the actual countdown. What are we at? 43 days till
we're going to be like Brady. And we're going to put the ticker
countdown
up on the
tick, tick, tick. Yeah. We should put it on the thing. So, welcome everybody to a new podcast here. We're launching Patriots Draft Countdown. The Patriots have a big draft this year. They have the third overall pick, and so we want to keep the positional previews that we've done in the past, Paul. That we break down each position, but what we want to do this year is really round it out. We're gonna talk to some national media. Evan's gonna do some film breakdowns. We're just gonna really try to blow it out and really cover the draft from all angles. And it's gonna start here today with a 1 hour live show to kick it off. Going forward, though, these shows will be kind of produced, so they won't be live during Wednesdays. They will be released on Wednesdays. So if you're looking for this show every Wednesday, just look. It won't be live like this. But if you would like to reach out to us, please email us
Patriots? Web radio.
I can't even remember.
Patriots.
Web radio at patriots.com. I had a whole
That's
thing going.
Web radio at patriots.com.
Draft in the subject.
He's only been working here for five
right,
years.
Right, I know. Well, I had such a role going with introducing the new show that I got tongue-tied a little bit. So, but just make sure you put draft or draft countdown in the subject so we can go back through when we do record each segment. So next week we'll be back on Wednesday, but we'll have an offensive line preview. Evan's going to do a film breakdown. We're going to talk to Brandon Thorne,
yes.
which we're setting up as well, who's an offensive line expert and
guru.
Bella Thorne?
Guru. Bella Thorne.
I'm interested.
No, Paul, settle down. Settle down. No, Paul.
Okay.
Brandon Thorne, the
calm
offensive
down.
Runner. But we got Matisse Bauman, who you might know from the halftime show. He joined us last year on some of the draft breakdown, positional breakdowns. Of course, you know, Evan and Paul and myself will also welcome a new face, Chris Cassidy, who works here and is a fun guy. Offensive.
Halftime host.
Yeah, halftime host as well. You know him from that. So
has some bad takes about Mike Evans.
Oh, there you go.
And wings.
We love bad
Boneless
takes.
Wings.
So bring him in. But this show will be about the draft. So that's what we're going to focus on. So if you're sitting in waiting to hear about the free agency signings, we'll touch a little bit on that as a kind of a springboard. And that's, I guess, where we can start off is with some of the signings that have been made, technically, I guess, still reportedly, but will be made official probably here at 4 o'clock. And guys, I'd like to just start at the top with the most important position, which is quarterback. We've had a couple of moves with Mac Jones being reportedly traded to Jacksonville, Jacoby Brissett signed. And how do you guys think, and I guess I'll start with you, Paul, just what's kind of your impression right now? I know this is kind of what we thought was going to happen, but how do you feel like these moves will impact the Patriots draft plans at the quarterback position?
Yeah, I think with the arrival of Brissett, you would have to think that, I think we all kind of felt number three was trending to quarterback anyway, but now I think it's almost locked in. And you never want to say, with 100% certainty, because you never know if things change. But I have to think Brissett is here to sort of help guide the rookie that they're going to take with the third overall pick. And, there's been a lot of different reports about Washington maybe is more interested in Daniels than May, and maybe that's why it winds up being Drake May here for New England. But I think it's sort of a package deal. The Mac Jones trade, sort of paves the way for that number three overall pick to be quarterback.
And also just to point out, Evan, with that trade, they picked up an extra six-round pick, which I know, look, it's a six-round pick, but in a year where you only have one pick in each round, that could help you a little bit.
It's an extra six-round pick that we've seen. Mike Onwenu was a six-round pick. Pop Douglas was a six-round pick. I could keep going to Tom Brady was a six-round pick.
Really?
I don't know if that's gonna we're going to hit lightning strike twice that big, but there's always room for more draft capital. I think looking at this draft, and we've done a couple mock drafts already, Deuce, and when you have four wins, you have a lot of holes. And to fill all these holes with just one pick in each round, it does get tough. You do recognize, all right, maybe we have to wait till next year to get a tight end. Maybe we need to wait until later on in the draft to address this position, that position, whatever. So it does get a little tricky, and I do think that getting whatever you can for some of these depreciated assets is not bad business by any means for the Patriots. But with three overall, just to get back on that, I think the biggest thing now is who do you fall in love with? Who do you really like? Are there multiple guys that you really like? Or are you in a position where if Washington takes Drake May and that's your guy, now you're trading out and you're kicking the can down the road on the quarterback, or do you like multiple quarterbacks that you're comfortable taking May or Daniels at three overall? So those are the conversations we'll be having ad nauseum, I'm sure, over the next 6 weeks or so here. But it's exciting, I think, if you're a Patriots fan, that you're getting a quarterback here probably at three overall, and it's going to be a quarterback that has high-end talent. Like, not to crap on Mac Jones on his way out, but it was the sell on Mac Jones was never about that he was oozing with physical talent. Whoever they get at the third overall pick is going to have a lot of physical tools to work with.
Natis, I know you have some strong takes on the quarterback, so why don't you just jump in, and you don't have to talk about Bo Nix. I know you don't want to.
I'm out on Bo and JJ. No, my thing is, I agree with Paul. Brissett coming in, Mac being gone, Cupboard's kind of open, so it's really going to be Jaden or Drake May. And I think the only interesting free agent piece that's left is Fields. I don't think he's going to come here, but if he drops from they want a second, and you know you can get him for a fifth or a sixth, that kind of switches things up with the quarterback and how you approach a draft. But other than that, we've been approaching the draft for the past 20 years window shopping, and now we can get something. So
yeah, and you know, the quarterback thing in general, and I'm glad that Tease just brought up Justin Fields, and I'm not advocating this, but I want to throw this out to the panel here, and this is what these shows are going to be about, is sort of trying to look at a lot of different avenues, right? You know, you're at the third overall pick, so let's say for argument's sake that it's either Daniels or May that the Patriots really like, and they don't have the opportunity to pick him. You know, maybe in another week or so it becomes apparent that whichever one the Patriots want is going to be selected by Washington. So now, do you trade up or do you trade back? And maybe sort of re-examine the possibility of a Justin Fields, who right now, the league is screaming that there's not a lot of value there, right?
Yeah.
So it's not costing you a second. I've heard people say, I wouldn't give up a second-round pick for Justin Fields. Well, you don't have to. It's pretty clear you don't have to. You might be looking at a fifth or a sixth like Mac Jones just got. You know, there's been really not a whole lot of difference in the production between those two guys. Now, I would say the upside for Fields is much higher than Mac Jones because he's shown at least the ability to run at an elite level. So if you could give up a fifth round pick, and now this is, I guess, the hypothetical that I'm, as usual, taking a long time to get to. If you could give up a fifth round pick for Justin Fields, would you then be willing to trade down or select something else? Marvin Harrison, Joe Alt, you know, Fashanu.
I wouldn't do that as plan A, but I think the scenario that you laid out is exactly where my head was going when Matisse was talking. That if you're set that Drake May or Jaden Daniels, one is your guy, but the other isn't.
Right.
And so let's just say it's Jaden Daniels, and Washington takes Jaden Daniels. Is it a bad plan B to then trade down, accumulate all these assets, make a pick still at maybe 11 or something like that, and then trade for Justin Fields so that you at least have some upside in the quarterback room, some youth in the quarterback room? And I think as a fan, I would hate it. I think it would be a very bad consolation prize just in terms of what could have been versus what you're actually getting. But at the same time, that's a logical plan B if they have to go that direction.
I like how you said it, because I'm not the biggest pound the table for the Justin Fields kind of guy. But I think when we talk about Bo Nix or J.J., you know, like, I mean, I don't know if I can lump J.J. McCarthy in with this group
Penix,
now.
Penix, Nix, Rattler. Yeah.
There's no real question you would probably rather have Justin Fields than those guys, right, Tease?
He's pretty proven, and he's also been in a pretty crappy situation in Chicago, too. Like, Eberflus was, I think it was a Thursday night game. If they lost that, like, he was out. He's had as much turnover also, so I think there's still some upside to him. So
there's definitely physical upside to him, and, you know, we do this all the time of, if you put this quarterback in this draft, where would Justin Fields be in this draft? And you can't necessarily look at it of Justin Fields on the Bears. You have to think about what you thought of him originally, and can you get that player out of him? So if there's people in the building that were high on Justin Fields at the 2021 draft and still think that player, that potential is in there, then you can talk yourself into it. But to Paul's point, nobody has yet. Like, there's not a whole lot of people that have talked themselves into it. So it's not looking good.
I think we might be a little – I'm a little bit skewed having watched Justin Fields here dismantle the Patriots and probably like, his I best like game of his career.
Yeah. In this room, I'm probably the biggest Justin Fields backer there is. And I am not really in on that either because I just think the lack of development in the passing game is still glaring to me. To me, it would be a plan probably C. You know, before anything else. And I think the timing is probably not going to work because before you sort of understand and realize that those guys, like, again, the Patriots want Drake May. Washington is going to take Drake May. They're not going to trade. They're going to take Drake May, and you're not going to get aware of that until closer to the end of next month.
Right. I just wonder if maybe it's a draft weekend trade, where the Patriots end up having to trade out because their quarterback isn't there, and then they called Chicago and say, well, now we'll give you a fourth or now we'll give you a fifth round pick for Justin Fields, and it goes down on draft weekend. I'm a big believer in Justin Fields too, at least back in the 21 draft. I had him as the second quarterback in that draft pretty clearly.
Me too.
But I think the biggest thing that you see with him is that these West Coast, he was in that Luke Getsy offense, which is similar to the Packers offense, which is similar to AVP's offense. Like, that's just not the offense for him. You know, he's not one of those guys that's a get the ball out quick, you know, throw timing routes, yards after the catch with accuracy, things like that. So how would AVP build it around him, because he can't just do the same thing that they were trying to do in Chicago? So it's a tough one. Like, if you had to ask me, would I take Justin Fields or Penix? I probably lean Penix in that situation. Justin Fields versus Bo Nix, I think, is maybe a little bit more in Justin Fields' category, but I think either way you're throwing a dart.
Yeah. My thing is, quarterback's the most important position in sports. You need to love one of these two guys if you're going to take him. If you have any second guesses on him, like, trade out, do something else. I just, like, this is a big investment for
the
franchise.
And that's where I land with the Justin Fields thing. If you don't have any, you know, a real strong feelings for May or Daniels, then maybe the Justin Fields thing is sort of middling it. You know, I'm not giving up a huge resource, and I can get this guy. I get a whole year. He's just as cheap as the rookie. I mean, it's not costing you that much. And you don't, you know, you're not going to pick up that 50-year option to tie you into that.
Right.
And then he could play, and you can see if there's something there. It's a long shot. It's way, you know, I just wanted to bring that up when Tease mentioned him as a possibility.
That's the other tricky thing, though, that you just mentioned, I know we can move on after this, but, like, then if he plays, and it's a good problem to have, I guess, if he plays well, but then you're looking at giving him the Baker Mayfield contract after next season. Yeah. So now it's your window of a cheap quarterback is only 1 year instead of your window being 4 or 5 years.
Yeah. Now you could roll the dice and give him the 50-year option, and you get a 2 year, you know, 2 years, $25 million. You know, that's not, you know, ridiculous, but
it's not Baker Mayfield money.
Yeah, it's not Baker Mayfield money, but, you know, to me, it would be, you know, really unrealistic to expect anyone to do that at this stage.
Well, this is Patriots Draft Countdown, brought to you by Bud Light. Easy to drink, easy to enjoy. Bud Light, the official beer sponsor of the New England Patriots. And, guys, I want to move on now to the wide receiver position. And as we sit here at 1:43 on Wednesday, we're kind of waiting on Calvin Ridley. My hopes are not high on Calvin Ridley. I think Calvin Ridley's just waiting till 4 o'clock.
Oh, you guys ruined this for me
sorry,
yesterday.
Sorry, Paul. You
the
were very
you,
positive.
Especially Evan. You. You're the one that brought that
because
home.
Because I told you the facts of the situation.
Right. The whole deal. And I mean, I don't know what.
Jacksonville's just stringing us all along.
I don't know what Atlanta was thinking with that deal. But I think we're all kind of assuming that they're going to have to go to Plan B. But let's talk a little bit about the fact that they released Devontae Parker, who went to Philly pretty quick, and I think the Patriots still have to pay a chunk of his salary, which is kind of annoying. But they also re-signed Kendrick Bourne to a 3-year deal. But, Evan, we've talked a lot about this being a really strong draft for wide receivers. So, you know, how do you see things right now as we sit here with, you know, granted, there could be a splash move coming, even if it wasn't Justin Fields. It could, you know, I know we've heard about Keenan Allen, those kind of things. I'm not really that high on that, but there are some other names out there that they could consider. It's a strong draft class. As we sit here right now with the roster, how do you evaluate the wide receiver position and what they need in the draft.
Well, I would say, first of all, just from their current roster, I think the plan in free agency was obviously Calvin Ridley. They've made it pretty clear that they are aggressively pursuing Calvin Ridley. And I think that Calvin Ridley himself is probably a bridge wide receiver one who eventually is going to be the wide receiver two, hopefully, if they draft the right guy and everything goes as planned. So the idea was to go into the draft with, let's just say, wide receiver 2 through 4 set on the depth chart, and then you're still just looking for the golden goose, right? You're still looking for the number one guy. So in this draft, I think what concerns me a little bit about where the Patriots are is that I think you're going to miss out in the initial wave of wide receivers at 34, and you're probably a little too early on the second wave of wide receivers at that point. So now you're either trading up from 34 to go get an Adonai Mitchell, to go get one of those Xavier Worthy, one of those Texas kids or something like that, or you're waiting till 68 and holding your breath and hoping the guy that you want falls all the way to 68. I guess you could trade up from 68 too if you really want to put all the permutations out there. But that's my concern after the combine, is that Xavier Worthy, Adonai Mitchell, those guys tested so well that I think that they tested themselves into the first round. And so now, are you going to be able to sit there at 34 and still have a ton of high-end talent on the board? Maybe not. So maybe we're more talking about this as like a 64 or 68 problem instead.
I'm with Evan on this. I've loved Xavier Worthy before he ran that absurd 40 time. And like, if you're the Chiefs, you just won the Super Bowl, you have a receiver problem, and he's just sitting there at 32, like, you'd be crazy not to take him. So you got to make that move at 34 if you want to get one of those elite guys.
Yeah.
And if you end up not getting Ridley, which it certainly seems more by the hour, that's going to be the case, is do you sort of explore the trade market a little bit more? And I'm not necessarily talking about, I know people are going to hear that and they're like, big move. I'm not necessarily going high end trade market like T. Higgins or, Brandon Ayuk or, whoever. But, you look at a deal that happened sort of under the radar with Deontay Johnson, for Pittsburgh going to Carolina. Small return. I think it was like swapping of some
6th and a 7th and cornerback.
And Dante Jackson.
With some late round picks, like modest kind of compensation, not something that's going to, well, you can't go for T. Higgins because you can't give up your second round picks. And I would kind of agree with that. Like, it probably runs counter to a rebuild. But is there a deal like that maybe that we're not really focusing on right now that could help? Now, I don't think Deontay Johnson was the kind of receiver the Patriots need. I think they need more of, more of the Pickens kind of guy on the outside from Pittsburgh. But, but
Tease's guy.
Don't who? Talk about
Pickens.
I love Pickens.
He can't let go.
He's a head case.
He can't let go.
No.
I just want a dog.
No.
He's a head case, though.
Yeah.
They all are. So what?
That's how I want my receiver to be.
Exactly.
The two guys that I would mention just in the veterans, one is Courtland Sutton, who I don't know if he's going to get moved now that Jerry Jeudy got moved. Mm-hmm. That would be a total rebuild of their wide receivers that I'm not sure is happening. But he's exactly what Paul is talking about, that big outside receiver, a jump ball guy. He's basically just a younger, better version of Devontae Parker at this point. And so I guess maybe that's one. The other one, I wouldn't trade for him, but if Mike Williams from the Chargers becomes available as a free agent because they have to release him to get cap compliant, then maybe that's somebody that you take like a high-risk, low-reward flyer on for a year and see if he gets healthy and can get back to where he was at the beginning of his career. So those are two guys that are pure outside guys. And when I look at the draft, I think a lot of the guys that are intriguing for the Patriots are more inside, off-the-line receivers. You really look at a lot of those day two guys, and I feel like that's where they fit. The Ladd McConkeys, the Ricky Pearsalls, the Xavier Leggetts. Like, those guys, I think, are more of Z-slot receivers than true X receivers on the boundary. So maybe they go out and they just get one of these veteran guys at that spot. I wouldn't totally rule out T. Higgins just because I think the Bengals are – forcing themselves to trade T. Higgins. They keep on ignoring the fact that he needs a contract extension. And I just, that one looks to me like he's eventually going to get moved. So I would stay I'd stay in the market for T. Higgins, but maybe some of those guys as consolation prizes there.
Those trades are like the ultimate wild cards. And, you know, we get so many questions of like, well, what do you think of this guy in the free agency market? And there's some obvious, like, T. Higgins is a potential trade candidate right now. But, like, who had Deontay Johnson as being a trade candidate? Like, these come out of nowhere. There's nowhere to really predict which guys, teams are. I mean, there was a little bit at the top, but there was usually
the move
random.
The move comes out of nowhere. I agree with you. Like, I didn't see anybody saying, well, you know, look for him to go to Carolina. But I think Deontay Johnson was available. I think people – and I think Evan brings up Courtland Sutton. He's right about Jerry Jeudy. Maybe he's no longer available. But there was a time
– both of them.
Not too far, you know, maybe a week ago that was being talked about. So – that's the job. Like, you have to sort of
find
forecast it and find it. I don't necessarily – I love Keenan Allen. I don't really have any interest in bringing in a 30-something receiver.
With an A who's done an ACL before.
You know, I
always has nagging injuries, too, like hammies
and things like
that.
I know he's
that.
On my fantasy team.
So, like, Mike Williams is a guy, like Ev said, that got the money, and now you don't have to probably pay him that.
Yeah.
Because the Chargers are going to be – you know, on the hook for some of that.
Yeah. I think the biggest way to tell, at least based off of how it's gone, is who is a free agent next year, right? So you look at the 2025 free agent class and that pre-agency group, and those guys, there's a lot of them. It's none of them are going to hit the open market, as we found out this year.
Yeah, they all get tagged.
But there's the wide receiver class that are all coming up on free agency next year is loaded, like from like Jamar Chase on down. You know, CeeDee Lamb, Jamar Chase, you know, some of the guys
Brandon
we've already
Ayuk.
Mentioned, Brandon Ayuk, obviously Jeudy was in that category, Keenan Allen's in that category, Deontay Johnson was in that category, so he gets moved, right? So I think that those guys, you look at the 2025 free agency class, and are those players available? Devontae Smith, a 2025 free agent, another guy that could be available that I would at least make the call.
Yeah, I mean, they got Devontae Parker now. They don't really have much use for him, do they?
well, make him say no, right? You know, make the call.
Mike made himself chuckle with that one.
It's just a shame because we always talk about it. CeeDee Lamb, all these, whenever we do these draft things, and now it's like we're in a position, like there's Marvin Harrison, he's right there, and you're like, of course the quarterback doesn't work out this year. Like, you can't take him. You need a quarterback to throw him the ball, but it's just so frustrating.
I'm glad you brought up Harrison, but let's move on. We don't have to talk too long about the tight end class, but, you know, the Patriots had really, you know, no proven players on the roster as of last week. They re-signed Hunter Henry. They have now brought in Austin Hooper, kind of similar guys to me. You know, Austin Hooper maybe at the end, kind of insurance. But Evan, you tweeted something saying they still kind of need a blocking tight end. And, you know, they thought Farrell Brown, he went to the Seahawks. Not a great draft class for the tight ends. But, you know, do you think that this means they're not really worried about targeting a tight end? Or do you think that they're going to have to try to continue to rebuild that position group, maybe with some young talent that maybe could push Austin Hooper off the roster?
Yeah, I think I look at Austin Hooper in that signing as this class is not good enough for where we might be in the conversation of picking a tight end. So we need to make sure we at least have some depth at tight end on the roster through veterans. They're not going to take Brock Bowers. They're probably not going to take Jatavion Sanders, who's going to have to be at 34 if you're going to get him from Texas. Maybe he falls a little bit because of his combine, but I think he's still an early day two guy. And then after that, you're really starting to talk about dart throws, you know, guys that are either athletic upside projects or low, you know, guys that aren't the best athletes but had college production. And, you know, you go right on down the line of like the Theo Johnsons, the Ben Sinnott's, the Cade Stovers. Like, those guys are all probably not going to be, you know, like Sam Laporta rookies, right? Like, I don't think any of those guys are stepping in and having a Pro Bowl season as a rookie tight end, but might have some developmental upside because of their skill sets and their athleticism. Like, a guy like Theo Johnson's one of the best athletes at the position in the history of the combine, but you look at him at Penn State and he did nothing at Penn State. So that's this class. You know, this class has two guys, really one guy in Brock Bowers, and then a whole lot of you know, lottery tickets after that.
I don't know, Paul, how do you feel about the tight end position generally?
I think that the free agent moves here were pretty obvious because of what Evan just talked about, and, you know, Tease, you alluded to it as well. Like, you sometimes you just get in the spot where there are players there, but you just can't. You said it about Marvin Harrison. They can't afford to take a tight end in this draft. They have to figure out quarterback, wide receiver, tackle, And then I think you might want to look into sort of augmenting some spots on defense, you know, at some point. I'm not sure that by the time that you could afford to take a tight end, you're going to get a tight end that's capable of stepping in and playing, as Evan just sort of explained, with the guys that are going to be available when you want to take them. So,
yeah,
you know, it would have been great to be able to, you know, be in a position of luxury, but getting Henry back was important, and I think adding Austin Hooper is important too.
I'm pretty upset about Farrell Brown leaving, actually. That was just a good asset. Like, you know, he had the one big play. But, you know, as Evan said, you need a blocking tight end. But luckily, I feel like you just pick one of those guys up off the street.
Yeah.
Like, it'll be August, and be like, oh, this random dude just signed, and I'm sure he'll be great. Like, that's
yeah, and maybe this coaching staff who worked with Hooper in Cleveland thinks that Hooper is a better blocker than I do, which is totally possible. He's definitely a better blocker than Harrison Bryant, who is the other Cleveland guy that maybe could have come here. He's got, you know, 20 pounds on Harrison Bryant. So definitely a different player than that, different player from Gesicki. You know, he's certainly a hand in the dirt, in-line guy that can do those types of things. So maybe they don't feel a blocking tight end is the best way to put it. Maybe just some youth and some upside at the tight end position is a better way. And if you throw a flyer at one of these day three guys that I, you know, just listed, or somebody else, you know, Tip Raymond.
I love who the Colorado State Holker.
Hooker, yeah, he can play, and so can Go Frogs. Wiley can play a little bit from TCU.
That's a blocker. That gets huge.
We got the hockey player, Ben Sinnott.
I know, Sinnott, yeah. Yep. Evan's been talking a lot about him. We saw him at the Combine. Always loved those hockey
Sinnott,
guys.
Sinnott,
I think.
Sinnott?
Yeah, he's like a flex. You know, he's like a tight end slash H-back, you know, type of player. But he tested way better than I thought he would. And he shows some really good skills at the Senior Bowl. So he's probably like a late third, early fourth round pick at this point, and is a good player.
The unfortunate part about Hooper is just all the stupid Jaws jokes that we're now going to get to make about Hooper.
Why is that unfortunate again?
For everyone listening, not for us. We love it.
That is accurate.
Here comes another.
Thankfully for the listeners, they will probably not have Hardy around, which would really like throw logs on that.
You have to be a certain age demographic to understand these jokes.
You go
Hooper drives
Jaws.
The boat, Chief.
crush it like Quint.
All right, let's stay on the offensive side of the ball. We're going to get a little less sexy, I think, for some of us, though, and go to the offensive line.
Speak for yourself.
All right, Evan. You love the offensive line, but you know they signed Chucks Okorafor. I'm working on that one. I'm going to get it down. Don't worry, folks. I'll get that off the tip of my tongue. I still need to look at my notes. They re-signed Michael Onwenu, though, and I think this is an interesting area because we know what Onwenu did. I think most of us, or at least I'll speak for myself, I think Michael Onwenu should play guard. I think that's where he's at the best. I think that you know he can play tackle when they need him to, but ideally I want him to be a guard. I don't know what their plans are for him, but between Chucks and Onwenu, how do you guys feel like the needs? And also to mention the three interior linemen that they drafted last year, you know, in So, Mafi, and Andrews. Three guys kind of waiting the wings. We saw a little bit of Andrews at the end of the season. So played a bunch at right guard, looked pretty good. We don't know what's going on with Cole Strange and his rehab, and is he going to be ready to go? So how do you guys see that? I mean, it's go back up in the early late first round to get one of these guys. We talked about what a big class it is. It's such a priority. None of these guys at tackle really truly move the needle, even if you believe Okorafor can actually play.
I just want to highlight the Mike Onwenu thing is that this is finally a guy we drafted, developed, and we kept him. And that's what I'm happy about. Like, you know, we let Myers leave. So I'm just happy that's kind of the precedent we're setting. But that being said, we do need to get a tackle. And I think that 34 pick, if it's not a receiver, you might need to get a big guy on the outside. So,
yeah, you look at just what
poor Bill.
What I think that they're trying to do offensively from a run game perspective, and a couple of things that they highlighted, you know, mobility or just, you know, whatever you want to call it, range at the tackle position and length at the tackle position. And Onwenu does have longer arms than you would expect. He actually does check the threshold for a tackle from that standpoint, but obviously his movement skills are not, I would not describe him as an athletic tackle. So if they are going to be a heavy wide zone team, which is what they were in Cleveland, then he is not a great fit as a tackle in that system. Now, they could adjust it like they did towards the end of the year last year in Cleveland and be more downhill and make it work. But I just look at the offensive line in general and the guys that they've drafted in the last couple years on the interior. those guys to me need to iron needs to sharpen iron there. And it shouldn't just be a given that Cole Strange has a starting job, or a given that City So has a starting job next year. Those guys should be competing with each other for starting jobs to make this whole thing better. You can't just go into next year with the line basically the same and then think that it's going to get much better than it was last year just because you plugged in a rookie at left tackle who's the 34th pick in the draft. Like, that's not good enough. So I look at those positions, and I would like Onwenu to stick at guard so that left guard now becomes a competition between two guys. And then you obviously add the rookie in at tackle with a core of four and hopefully Tyron Smith here in like an hour or something like that. And now and now we're cooking with gas, right?
Yeah, I think if you look at it, you know, I think they want Onwenu to play right guard because a core of four doesn't make a ton of sense otherwise. Now, they didn't break the bank for him. It's a one-year deal. It's you know, it's not like they're like a Onwenu with $57 million. But a core four is basically a right tackle. I've seen some people say, well, now a Onwenu starts at right tackle, and now you have a core four as your swing tackle. He's never really played left tackle, so there's a requirement for a swing tackle, and it's the ability to play both sides. That's the swing.
Right?
So I think that they probably, in their mind, hope a core four is good enough to be the right tackle, which gives them the luxury of having a Onwenu at right guard. Now you get Evans iron sharpening iron. You have like three or four guys for one spot. Let the better man prevail. Cole Strange, City So, Antonio Mafi, even Jake Andrews. He could probably play guard or center, right?
Yep.
Let the best man emerge, and then if you're plugging in a guy at left tackle, yeah, that's not the greatest indoctrination for a rookie at, you know, but there's some guys that you guys are going to talk about them all, you know, that should be good enough to plug and play.
Yeah.
That you can get end of first round, beginning of second. Now, if there's a run on them, I've heard people talk about six or seven guys possibly in the top 20. If there's a run, you got to get aggressive and move up and get one.
Yeah. I just, you mentioned, you know, core four. I feel like he's destined for having the same exact season he had last year in Pittsburgh, where they drafted Broderick Jones in the first round. And he started the year at right tackle, played the first seven or eight games, and then they handed the keys to the rookie at halfway through the year. I could see the same thing happening here, which is why I feel like adding a established starter in free agency at that spot is important. And there's two guys in Tyron Smith and Jonah Williams that fit the bill. So go pay one of those guys. Then, you know, you draft a right tackle or a left tackle, whichever way you want to put that free agent. And Chuck's Okorafor is maybe the starter for the time being. And then eventually it's the rookie's job. Like, that's how I feel like is the best path forward for them. But that means they have to fork over the cash for one of the free agents and then, you know, get aggressive with the tackle, because Okorafor is not a long term answer as a starter. He's really a swing tackle, as Paul put. He's really a third tackle. And
There's a difference between a third tackle and a swing tackle.
Yeah.
And I agree. That's it.
Yeah.
What Evan just said.
Yeah. So they still have some work to do. It. Like, let's not lose sight of the fact that they were basically the worst offensive line in football last year. I mean, they were 31st in pass block win rate last year. They were middle of the pack in run block win rate. So when you put it together, they were maybe the 30th ranked offensive line in all of the NFL. And all they've really done is brought back Onwenu so far. I like a core four, but really in terms of a day one impact starters, all they've really done so far is bring back Onwenu.
Now, before we move on to defense, and I know you're dying to do that.
You're right. I am.
I'm going to bring this up and then duck and let you guys fight it over. So here's what you've done so far in the quote-unquote legal tampering period. It's a return of Hunter Henry, Kendrick Bourne, Mike Onwenu, Jalen Reagor, Josh Uche, Anthony Jennings. Trent Brown?
He's still out there.
I'll see myself out.
I'm surprised you're ducking on yourself. I mean, it is interesting. I'm curious what's going to happen with him. I mean, I think there were reports earlier in the offseason that he's moving on.
Yeah, he said on the radio himself that we're going to be looking elsewhere, both sides.
But still interested to see where he ends up, though. I mean, because he's probably just – you always look at him, and he's a giant guy who can kind of play a lot of tackle.
I'm not that interested. Thanks for your service.
I think you guys know how I feel.
But well, I am not interested. But I like that you asked the question, Paul.
But to Evan's point about you had the number 30 whatever ranking last year, is the guy that you're replacing Trent Brown with going to be better or worse than Trent Brown?
Well, according to Trent Brown, it'll definitely be worse.
Okay, now listen, I will be the first guy to tell you, I don't care if he's physically as gifted or if he's ready to play today as well as Trent Brown did. You're better off without Trent
Does
Brown.
Does he want to play?
You're better off without Trent Brown. You will be better overall without that headache. That's how I feel about it. But
I agree.
From a strict talent standpoint, you're probably not going to be as good at that spot as you were last year.
Yeah,
that's fair.
It looks like the Calvin Ridley money might go to Tyron Smith or Jonah Williams.
Why not both, Tease?
Why not both? Like, hey, shoot for the moon here. So I'm not going to move on to defense just yet, Paul. Sorry. Sorry to myself. Oh, but I do want to just touch.
Did I miss a position?
Briefly on the running back position.
Oh, so there's a little bit of news. We're just not Patriots news, but could be Patriots news. The Chargers did release Mike Williams. Okay. So he is now going to be a free agent, similar to like Russell Wilson. You don't have to actually pay him, right? Yeah. Like Devontae Parker, you don't have to actually pay
him.
First
thing that goes to mind
is
his knee, and is he good? That's the first thing I think of.
He's had injuries too. So real quick though, just to touch on the running back position, because they did, you know, add Antonio Gibson, who I guess at this point I would call the most significant external addition to the team right now. Somebody who you can probably expect to play. I know we talked a little bit about him on Patriots Unfiltered. Good pass catching back was that when he came out of college. He was on the big board, by the way, Paul. So another, we'll chalk one up for that.
Except because he was a wide receiver, like running back hybrid.
Yeah,
so right,
hybrid. I love the word hybrid. If
versatility.
You're a hybrid, come to me, hybrid. But so I mean that move makes sense. I know I believe I saw another report. Ezekiel Elliott. They're kind of moving on from him. It was kind of a really interesting running back market, Tease. But what do you see the need like going into the draft? We've seen a lot of these guys. There's not a lot of high end. But do you think that this is the kind of draft where do they double dip? Do they just try to take a shot on somebody big and big like Stevenson and one of those more every down kind of backs?
I think just a receiving back. I know Gibson's kind of that, but as Evan said with the dart throws, like this is the perfect draft to do it. I mean, look how the free agent market changed with running backs. Last year we got Zeke for the cheap, and now we have all these big name running backs going different places. So the only two guys that stand out to me are really Jonathan Brooks and Blake Corum. Other than that, I just need a guy who can catch it out of the backfield, James White style. And if you don't need to use one of your picks, I think a lot of these guys are going to be UDFAs.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I think that the reason why you're seeing so much movement in the veteran market is because the draft class at running back is not particularly strong.
Yep.
So if you're a team that's running back needy, you have to get the running back in free agency this year. Whereas the draft, I think that they're every single guy in the draft has a skill, but there's not really guys that are super well-rounded. Like Blake Corum is the guy you mentioned, is probably the closest thing to like a complete back in this draft, but even he is only like 5'7" and has like, you know, is not the biggest of guys, and you know has some things in that respect to worry about. So there's a lot of running backs, and you know, we talked about this on Catch 22 last week. When is the running back run going to start? Because once it starts, you have to jump on the train, because there's going to be probably a dozen of these guys, I would say most likely late day two into day three, that are all going to come off the board in like the 50 pick span, you know, and you have to be able to jump on that train when it starts moving. But when it starts, I don't know 100%. It could be late third round, somebody jumps somebody and says, let's just grab them now and not wait until the start of day three. That's really where you're talking about. There's no top 75 running backs, I don't think, in this class this year, which it's been a little bit since it's been a class where there's really no Christian McCaffrey. There's no player even close to that in this draft.
And then, I mean, just going into the season with who we have, I'm pretty content with that. I mean, Ramondre, there are way worse backs out there. Antonio Gibson, he's shown flashes, so we're pretty locked. For all the holes we have, I feel pretty comfortable there.
That's what I was going to ask. Is this a position – is running back become a position that you just don't really worry about? Because you can – I mean, not that I thought Ezekiel Elliott was outstanding last year, but I think that he was fine, and you got him in the middle of training camp. And it seems like that's kind of the direction that it's going, that there's always a running back out there that you can probably bring off the street and hand the ball off to, and it'll get you some
I would
yards.
Look at the Dolphins and the 49ers before Christian McCaffrey, when they had all those injuries and they threw Debo back there. Like, mm-hmm. You can make it work. And the Dolphins had Mostert, who was 31, 32, and picked him up, and he had a great season. So you can make it work with
anybody. Yeah, and I agree. I wouldn't expect there to be panic. You know, I mean, I think Evan might be right that, you know, once someone does go, you might see a few running backs, but there shouldn't be panic because of that. And there's been so many examples of these teams just trading them like they're like trading socks. You know, like,
do you trade socks?
You took Aaron Jones. Oh, I'll take Josh Jacobs. Oh, you took Devin Singletary. I'll take, you know, Austin Eckler. They're good players. they're all good players and they're all going to help their team. But it's just, to me, not something that you have to worry about because they're all available.
Yeah.
This running back class is such a dime a dozen. And it really is about the skill set that you're looking for. You know, if you're looking for like a power back like Brandon Allen from Wisconsin, but if you're looking for more of a scat back than like Bucky Irving from Oregon, is that. So the type of guy that you.
I do like him.
I do like him too, but he bombed the combine. I don't know if he had a stomach flu or a bad day or whatever.
St. Elmo's.
Jeez, you know, that's a player that maybe he's available a little bit later now because he's small and he doesn't run well, which is not a good combination if you're a running back.
Gotta have one of those. So we
I'd
don't
still
need
to rather have Calvin Ridley.
Let's
make that happen.
There you go. And we're any news?
I'm gonna will it into existence.
Why can't we have both?
Have all. We don't need to belabor defense, but we do have to talk about it, guys. And of course, the Patriots recently, over the last 24 hours, have made two reported moves of Josh Uche coming back on a one-year deal and Anthony Jennings of a three-year deal. And I know you guys are making fun of me, and it's fine, but that's kind of my favorite signing of all of them.
That's okay.
I really liked what Jennings did last year.
The heart wants what the heart wants, Mike.
It does. It does.
We're not here to make fun of you.
He's just a stout, run-stopping edge player, and if he can continue to develop over these 3 years, I think there's always a role for a guy like that. But I just look at – we spend so much time talking about offense, and rightly so, the tackle position, the quarterback position, the wide receiver position just seem to dominate everything. But when I look at this edge group, I see it as a need, and especially long term. We've talked about Judon's status with, you know, he had to get a contract adjustment last summer where I believe they took some money and moved it up. So now he needs more money probably. I think that's going to be another thing to keep an eye on. I like Uche and Jennings. I think if you could combine them and morph them into one player, they'd be great. But you're still kind of dealing with specialization on that other side. So I guess my question for you guys is edge kind of a sneaky need in the draft? And if the right guy was kind of there, maybe early day two, does it make sense?
You always need pass rushers. And I think that what you're seeing with the market is that pass rushers are now becoming more valuable than corners. When it kind of flip-flops. It depends on the trends. But you look at interior pass rusher, that market has just skyrocketed. It's crazy. Like guys like Christian Wilkins getting over $100 million.
Bar Moore is going to get paid.
Yeah, those guys are getting crazy. And then you see these teams that they want to throw waves of edge rushing at you. It's not just having one or two guys anymore that play all the snaps. It's having like four or five guys that can all rotate in there. So I never rule out a team taking a pass rusher if it's a guy that they really have highly ranked, because you can never have too many of these guys. And at the end of the day, if you're going to play a Josh Allen, a Patrick Mahomes, these types of quarterbacks, if you can't get pressure on the quarterback against one of those guys, you're screwed.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it is, you know, it's a need. I don't think there's any doubt about it. I think corners are a need, too. You know, I don't think they have enough corners. And that kind of is the same as Evan just said, only just replaced edge rushers and pass rushers with cover guys. You never have enough. So I do think that while the needs are clearly on offense, there's some, like just bringing back the same cast of characters on defense isn't going to make your defense better. And I would argue losing the most important element of that defense, Bill Belichick, in my opinion, that's going to be something they need to replace.
How dare you say something nice about Bill?
Yeah, I mean, it's like I was snarky earlier when we were talking about like retaining, you know, drafting development, like Shaq Mason. And I like, you know, when Bill did it, it was like, oh, just falls in love with this guy, you know, and now it's evidently the Packer way.
Yeah,
which to me involves having the best quarterback in football for 35 years, and you can be pretty successful. But you know, what are you going to do?
No, I think it's
a lot like the Packer way and the Patriot way are kind of just the same way.
Yeah, have a great quarterback, and you know, try not to screw it up.
Yeah, but
you'll be relevant every year.
But I think it's a good point, Paul, and you know, not that this is too much off topic, but I just think it's worth bringing up because, you know, we kind of had this conversation and Paul does what he does. Like, you know, he asks you a question that he already knows what he wants you to say, and then you say it, and then he's like, no. You know, and they're like, yeah, you're right. It is
what I think I'm going to say.
But say what you will about Bill and, you know, but if there was one thing that you could say with 100% confidence in my book was that he's going to come out with a good defensive game plan against an opponent. He's going to look at the team and say, this is what we're going to need to do. And his teams couldn't always execute that, but I always think that in his head, he knew what it was going to take to win. So, you know, I think it is a really good question to kind of just debate for a second is, you know, as much as there is continuity on the defense,
how much does it matter? And I mean, I'll even throw Steve Belichick in that mix, that he's not there.
Absolutely.
You know, he's somebody that was in this defense for a long time and
calling,
you know,
the
was calling the plays. And so you're also looking at DeMarcus Covington coming in and might have a little bit of a learning curve on how he's going to call the defense, how aggressive he's going to be. Is he going to be, you know, more, more in the Matt Patricia kind of let's sit back a little bit? Is he going to be overly aggressive like B-Flow was? I think it's a really good question as to how they're going to deploy these guys, because it looks like it's going to be a largely veteran defense.
Yeah, it's a great question. And I think the main point that you brought up about game planning is going to be really, we'll see, because fundamentally they're going to coach the same things. They're going to coach the same system. The fundamentals are all going to be the same. Heck, the drills are probably all going to be the same as to what they were doing with Bill. So in that level, I'm not too concerned about this transition, but there is still nobody better, even at the end, than Bill Belichick of saying, we're playing Josh Allen this week, and these are the three things that we're going to try to do to stop the Bills, or these are the three things that we're going to try to do to stop Mahomes or the Dolphins, maybe not with as much success, but you know, those teams like that, that's something that you can't just replicate, I don't think, is that crystal ball that he had to game plan. And I that will be a big, big difference, I think, in terms of how they call play. I do think they're going to be aggressive in calling plays. I don't imagine that a defensive line coach is going to get promoted to play caller and all of a sudden
he's
going to back off. Like, I just don't really see that coming, especially when the head coach is a linebacker. So now you have two guys that are probably like, oh, I like to blitz. Yeah. Let's all blitz.
Let's,
you know?
Blitz.
Yeah. So I think that they're going to bring pressure for sure.
Yeah. All right. So moving off of some of the positions, and we're going to take some emails here. We got 15 minutes left to go. We're trying to keep this just to an hour. We're trying to keep it tight here in the live show. But I want to this is something that just popped into my head. And just picking this high in the draft kind of ruined mock drafts. Like, we all kind of just like, you know, it's fun to like kind of.
Well, Paul doesn't like them. Anyway,
I know Paul doesn't generally, but that's why I think
like, this is like my favorite draft and since 2001.
Like, because what are you going to do? It's like Mayor Daniels, like everyone you read is kind of the same thing and nobody goes past the first round. So it's like, you know, when we're picking 15. It was all kinds of different ways and permutations that it could fall.
That's trades.
And now it's just like, yeah. Right, who they got? Mayor Daniels.
I know what your point is.
You know what
to
I mean?
Me, it's all in the eye of the beholder. Like, if you're really into like all the different things and you want to see all the different opinions, then yeah, this is not good for you. If you're like me and you ignore all those mock drafts because I think it's the silliest exercise that's ever been created.
I agree.
It's the most clickbait thing that we've ever done.
Okay, but don't hate on the clickbait part of it, because my mock draft did numbers. All right.
I'm just telling you could do one right now and put it up and it'll probably do more numbers.
I think
the clickbait of mock draft is through the roof, and that's why so many people do so many different ones. That's why everybody does roster projections.
I do it
every year just like everybody else.
I think the mock draft thing's kind of ruined because we need a quarterback. You know, when Joe Burrow got hurt, it was like, oh, like they could get Ja'Marr Chase, like he's up there. So it's kind of like if this was Mac's second year and we're like, oh, we're gonna give him some more time, like it would be pretty interesting. You don't know what they're gonna do, but I think you're pretty locked in on one of those two guys.
Right.
So when Deuce and I do the mock drafts, we were just talking about this the other day off the air. How many we're just doing a scenario just to do the scenario at this point of them not taking a quarterback. Like, Deuce had one with Marvin Harrison Jr.
It was my Justin Fields. Yeah.
Okay. This one I said, oh, maybe I'll just do a trade down scenario just to play it out, because what am I going to take Drake May for the seventh time, or are we going to do something different? Right. So are they dead for us this year? Maybe a little bit, but at the same time, it's like kind of easy to be right. So I'm like okay with that aspect of it.
Yeah. Nailed it.
Big Board's gonna go crazy.
Oh,
this year.
You know when I get the mock draft pick right for their first pick, I'm gonna take a victory lap. I told you it was
you. It was like one or two people. It was like one or two
sparklers. Everything.
I told you they were picking Drake May.
I did it. I knew. So let's grab some emails here, and please shoot us an email if you'd like before here in the last 10 minutes or so, just a couple to share that have already come in. But Zach and Chumford writes in, love this new show. Listen to all the Pats draft preview pods in previous years. If the Pats do strike out on Ridley, I'm really feeling the first four rounds should be QB, wide receiver, OT, in that order. What are your thoughts?
I would rather go wide receiver than take two tackles early. I think because in this draft, like you could get two really good wide receivers in like the second and the fourth round, or the third and the fourth round. I look at that Packers draft from a few years ago because we're all thinking Packers around here.
Packer way.
And Elliott Wolf wasn't there for this draft, but when they picked Christian Watson and Romeo Dobbs, that draft that worked out beautifully for them, right? Like they had these two receivers now, two big, fast, you know, explosive guys on the outside that are growing together with Jordan Love and with Jaden Reed, and now all of a sudden they have this loaded offense out of nowhere. Like that, if you're the Patriots, that's what you, I think, would be the best course of action, or what you would hope would happen, is you take two guys, you know, one early day two, one early day three, and you hope that together those guys are your one and your two going forward.
Yeah, I don't mind the two, the double up. I don't know how you feel, Tease.
No, I like it.
I don't mind the double up on receiver. I think the tackle needs to be the second rounder, though.
Yeah, me too.
Yep.
Unless you do Evan's thing and we're getting Tyron Smith.
Yeah.
This is
because I'm God forbid.
No, I'm for that too.
I know you're for it. I'm saying
I'm assuming tackle's a need in the draft. And if it is, I can't wait till
the third or fourth round. Right, that's why I feel like if you take the tackle at 34 and you double dip in the third and fourth rounds at receiver, if one of those receivers hits, you're in decent shape. If both of them hit, you're in great shape. And that should be the goal.
This is the draft of shiny toys. If you get Drake May, also go get his boy Devontae Walker. Sorry, yep. The other UNC
You can just
guy.
Call him Tez.
Tez,
it's
sorry, Tez.
Easier.
Tez Walker.
Tez likes Tez. Yeah.
Get him Tez Walker.
AD Mitchell, right?
I go with AD.
We've striked out on Mac with the receivers, you know, like Thornton. It didn't work out. Yes. Let's just like
Slade Bolden.
Look at Stroud and Tank Dell. Like, just come on. Let's get a partnership
get
going
a
here.
Yeah, Tez Walker is an interesting player for them because he is kind of a one trick pony. He's just a down the field vertical receiver. But if it is Drake May, he loves to throw the deep ball, so he might as well go get him somebody that can go deep. You know, he's 4.3 speed, more of like a linear athlete, but definitely explosive and can play on the outside. One thing I didn't really love about his film, though, is there's very few press coverage reps. It's like all like just him running into quarters coverages and things like that, because they play that air raid system, and so it's wide open and he just running by people, and it's hard to translate that to the league.
Scott from Virginia, sticking with the receiver topic. As you guys say, there are plenty of wideouts this year, but is there one type of receiver that might be tougher to get if you wait till the later rounds? Good ones, maybe? I don't know.
I do think that it's tougher to get the true X, which is when, you know, Mike Williams, this news just broke while we were recording this. I would go after Mike Williams because it's hard to find those true X receivers. They don't grow on trees. It's a, you know, a unique skill set to have the size, the speed, the athleticism to be able to get off press coverage in this league. It's not for everybody. If you go ahead and draft Ladd McConkey, he's not playing X in the NFL. He's going to get beat up. So I think on day two, there's a lot more Z slot types, you know, the McConkeys, the Ricky Pearsalls, the Xavier Leggetts, you know, go down the list again. You know, the guys from Washington, Polk, you know, McMillan. Yeah. Those guys are definitely players that I think are better off playing either in the slot or off the line of scrimmage. And if you have a guy like Mike Williams on the outside, now you are able to play that player there, assuming Mike Williams is healthy.
Yeah. Malachi Corley, another one.
Yeah. Malachi Corley is an interesting player.
Yeah.
Because I'm always intrigued by the guys that pick up all the yards after the catch.
Me too.
But then it for every Deebo Samuel, there's an Amari Rodgers. So it's like, yeah. Which one is this guy?
Or a LaVisca Chenault.
Yeah, or that's probably a better comp for Corley with his body type. Yeah. So
I like Chenault.
It's tough.
I took the cheese.
It's tough to predict those guys, which ones are going to be the Deebo Samuels and which ones are going to be the LaVisca Chenaults. Yeah.
Another one here, kind of good one. You know, this is from Donovan, and he lays out, you know, where we stand right now. Of course, the caveat, you know, we haven't even actually started the league year yet. But considering the free agency moves, is there any way they can fill all the needs at quarterback, wide receiver, offensive line?
Todd in North Carolina.
Without trading back from number three, even if that doesn't guarantee a playoff team. I kind of wonder that myself. You know, is it like? I mean, and that's the argument of if you did the exercise of trading back is, I mean, if you could have, like, it's amazing if you ever just mess around with a mock draft and, you know, the PFF mock draft generator.
I never do that, so.
But when you trade back a little bit and you get, like, three picks from, like, you know, like, let's say 12, and 34.
How many times a day do you think he does the one of those?
I mean, he wakes up, he does one.
How many do you think he does?
It's like brushing his teeth.
That he doesn't share on social media.
I don't know.
So many.
I picture more of Barth being like, I'm going to get crazy. What if I did this one? I just click. I don't even know who I'm going to get.
Barth, who we
hello?
Should, we should
Evan?
Be on one of the shows.
What are you doing? You want to come over and do a PFF pod? Come on. All right, I mean, just come on. I got a couple of beers. Come on. All right, I'll go.
I will say this. I think he does more of them than I do because he loves the trades. Like all of a sudden, he'll send me one with six trades. I'm like, well, okay, Elliot Wolf. Like, you know, calm down.
Like the force trade.
The Texans trade did irreversible damage to the mock draft community last year.
My favorite mock drafts are the ones, you know, in the 7-round mocks that you where. People who don't follow the draft that closely, such as myself, I know all 7 guys the Patriots took. Like, somehow you found a way in the 6th round to take a guy that even I am familiar with. Do you know how impossible that is?
Yeah, you know what, Paul? It's funny you say that because I brought this up to Evan when we were at the Combine. And, you know, everybody, I think a lot of people use the PFF mock draft generally. That's, you know, a pretty popular one. But the way that they rank guys and the way that guys come up, they have power over what the conversation is because the way they feed it to you, it's your thing.
It's
the
totally
same
unrealistic.
Guys every single time. You're like, here I am again with this 5th-round pick, and wouldn't you know it, it's the same like 6 guys I'm picking from. It's just funny how much they kind of influence the conversation.
Well, I also think it influences, not to like get into a whole big picture conversation about mock drafts, but then the immediate reaction from fans is immediately influenced by what we did in our mock draft.
Right.
So like,
why didn't you have it?
Right. Yeah. So why didn't you take this guy instead of that guy? And the teams get ragged on for taking a guy that everybody he was mocked in the 2nd round.
They had Cole Strange in the 4th round. Right. It was like idiots.
Yeah. We're like looking at it from
that
a Pats.
That one maybe wasn't the best example.
We're looking at it from a Pats point of view too, because there's definitely some Giants reporter who's like, oh, I just traded with the Pats in the mock draft. I'm taking Drake May. We gave him all these picks and then we're taking Neighbors.
Right.
Like, it's a whole thing.
It's like, I mean, I think, you know, you get really good value if you got like Malik Neighbors in the 4th round. Like, I mean, like, this is all coming together. That's the kind of mock drafts that I'm just like.
Yeah. What is not going to happen.
Yeah.
No, you don't think you can get Malik Neighbors in the 4th round? No.
Well, I just wonder, like, when people do those ones, do they turn the difficulty to like rookie? You know, like, because like I see these mock drafts and like, fix the Patriots, and it's like in the 4th round they're taking, you know, like Jaden Daniels. Like, I'm just like,
that's my point.
That's Barth's playground where he's like, I'm gonna make this one so random, you know, like between like, what is it, like random
ones that are like, you know, based off
for value.
You know, college mascots, and you know, like, you know, if I only picked guys from the Big Ten, what would the 1st round look like?
Oh man, Barth catches.
Boy, I'll tell you, guys are really selling me. I should start looking into doing some of these.
Well, it's funny you say it because
I would love a Paul Perillo mock draft. I would love.
Oh, I've done mock drafts, just not on those, not on.
Oh, you
PFF.
Didn't select anyone.
time expired.
I forgot I was doing it. I didn't care.
Time wouldn't expire on me. I would have the opposite problem.
Any other mock draft generators you ever use?
There was one I used.
Yeah, there was the one that the first one I feel like that was before PFF.
With like 2,000 ads popping up like every which direction.
I don't remember what it was.
Subscribe for $400 and you'll get no ads here on our website.
Yeah, there was
anymore.
Definitely one I remember before PFF that everybody used. That was like the one to use. And then PFF came out with theirs.
And along those lines, we've talked about it. What's going on with Jaden Daniels in the PFF mock draft generator? Because all of a sudden
now like
he's like ranked way low.
They don't like him, which is funny because usually it's based off of their grades of the player the year before a little bit. But his grade, and obviously he won the Heisman Trophy, so his grade was pretty good. So I'm really not sure why they have him like. I think he's their 20th ranked prospect in the entire draft or something like that.
And that's affecting everybody's. And then they do it and they get a grade and they get an F and they're like, what is this?
Yeah.
You know? All right, guys. Well, I'm going to start driving the bus into the garage, I guess, here. But great first show. And you know, again, these shows are going to be produced. So this show, and we will do another live hour show the day before the draft, which will be similar to this. We'll kind of talk about everything we did today, just laying out the whole off season. But otherwise, we're kind of going to go by each show will contain kind of a quick update of where we are with the draft, you know, maybe latest news and how it might affect the Patriots. Evan's got some film breakdowns. We've got a bunch of guests lined up as well. But they will be kind of segmented and only a half an hour. But again, please, you know, feel free to send us an email there to webradio@patriots.com anytime. Just make sure you put draft in the headline and be sure to ask us draft questions. We had some questions today, not necessarily about the draft. So what we're really trying to do here is focus in on the draft. So stay tuned. Next Wednesday, we'll have, I guess, our offensive line show. So we'll have a bunch of interviews, and we'll be talking about the different prospects a little bit more in depth. We tried to give you a big overseeing of the draft. So I want to thank you for joining us. Patriots Draft Countdown, brought to you by Bud Light. We'll see you next week.
Thank you for downloading this podcast. Subscribe on Apple, Google Play, and everywhere else you listen. Like the show? Please rate and review us. Listener comments and ratings help keep us high in the podcast rankings so new listeners can find us. Be sure to check patriots.com for more news and more podcasts.